Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number that you can dial is 831-0917. A very, very important conversation, dialogue, and discussion. It might not sound super interesting and or exciting, but it's a subject that we must face, especially as Christians, especially as Central Biblicists. What does the Bible say? Does the Bible say that we have the right to take our lives? Does the Bible say that we can should be the one to make a decision when we want to leave this world and be dispatched by the medical professions? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a growing concern over the billions and billions of dollars spent by the insurance companies on end-of-life care. End-of-life care. We can look at the medical data, what's called waste, and 30% of the end-of-life is called waste money. 30%. Listen very carefully. The federal government authorizing the insurance companies to make a declaration that 30% of what's spent for the, what they call end-of-life care. What does end-of-life care mean? That means when the person is up in age, aged and very frail, when a person is in the position they've fallen, they have major maladies, and there's a continual need for medication. What is end-of-life care? End-of-life is when that person has a terminal disease that the insurance companies, the physicians, the doctors, and the individual themselves know that it's not a matter of if, it's just when life is over. But ladies and gentlemen, that's true for every human being. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, the Bible says. The Bible says there's a time for laughing, a time for crying, a time for living, a time to be born, and a time to die. So all of us have an expiration date, if you will, and only God knows that expiration date. But the insurance companies being allowed now by the federal and state governments to make a determination what is considered wasteful spending. And a waste is considered anything that is over 30% of what is spent on end of life. It's called waste. The federal government gives Medicare candidates and Medicare, those that are being considered as Medicare, considered much of end of life, are viewed as waste. In fact, if you own Medicare, and by the way, the old Medicare, you work 30, 40, 50 years paying into it. So it's not something that you get for free. It's been bought and paid for by your labors and funds coming out of your paycheck for 30, 40, 50 years. So it's not a gift. You've already paid for it. And with your Medicare, you're it's being considered now a government benefit, ladies and gentlemen. And yet it was stolen from us down through all of the years since it was introduced in legislation and law in the United States of America. And yet, because if you're receiving that care, then all of a sudden you're considered a ward of the state, the ward of the federal government, that the state and the government, because they're paying for your care by Medicare and other insurances. It's not just Medicare. If your insurance company is paying out major dollars each month for your prescriptions because of a rare or major disease that you have, they look at you as a waste. They look at you as they are wanting to find a way to cut off their losses. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we must recognize life and death decisions ought to be in the hands of God and not in the hands of government. Let me continue just very briefly from the previous part of our broadcast. This article says proposed bill, and it's already passed as law in New Mexico, will cause explosion of assisted suicide in New Mexico. I had enumerated the first five or six things that is found in the new law. The bill does not require a second assessor. That is a second doctor to say that that's your problem. The bill allows health care providers to approve. Listen, it allows the health care provider to approve your death by way of a computer. The bill replaces a six-month terminal diagnosis with an unidentified term. Foreseeable future, it means. What does this mean? It means that your terminal illness may cause death somewhere in the foreseeable future. What is the foreseeable future? A month, 6 months, a year, 10 years? Every one of us are going to die in the foreseeable future. That's so, how would you say, loose and unconscionably lack of anything being called lucid thinking that it allow the physicians, the medical care people, providers, as well as the insurance company to decide when you're going to die. The bill further has, the law further has it, it requires health care providers to falsify the death certificates. Listen, this is probably one of the most staring, glaring problems that I find. All of it's problematic. But the new law in New Mexico, the suicide bill, euthanasia bill that allows physicians to dispatch you, will allow the physicians to falsify the death certificate. You died by lethal injection at the hands of a physician, but your death certificate will say heart attack or unknown or just natural causes. allowing the medical providers to falsify. What does that mean? It means to lie on your death certificate. The bill further, the new law further makes legal protection for anyone who participates in the act, that is the act of murder. The bill removes conscientious rights for the healthcare provider. That is one that objects to doing that. It removes that clause. A physician cannot object to putting you to death, dispatching you under New Mexico law. The bill lacks a residency requirement. What does that mean? You don't have to live in New Mexico. You can cross the line, go into New Mexico, and go to a physician, go to a hospital, and say, dispatch me, put me to death. I'm tired of living. I want to die. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, this law is basic decisions and actions on a good faith compliance. What does it mean, good faith compliance? It's at the lowest level of oversight. It is impossible to prove that someone participated in the act and did not do so in good faith. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, the law reduces the reporting procedure to require healthcare providers to self-report only the basic data such as age, race, sex, whether the person was enrolled in hospice or not, and the underlying medical conditions and the date of death. It will be impossible, ladies and gentlemen, to determine if there was any abuse, i.e., if the physician dispatched you not because you wanted to die, but because he wanted you to die, or because the health care provider wanted you to die. Ladies and gentlemen, it covers the legalized murder. It covers the act of legalized murder in that new law. There's now, ladies and gentlemen, this is now across America that will, if recognized, if not recognized, and if not stopped, will very soon have authorized physicians and hospices and hospitals and insurance companies that will decide when you die. Today, we have the so-called right to die laws. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a right to die. No one has a right to die. God makes that determination. But we have so-called right to die laws. We have physician-assisted suicide. We have hospice where the patient never walks out of the facility. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just touch on this very briefly. 99.9% of American citizens have no earthly idea what hospice is all about. I know of a family that she and her husband, two people, a man and his wife, were on vacation out of state. They were out of their state. And they went to a restaurant and he started choking. They put him in the hospital. And the doctors, and he was in good health otherwise. The doctors told her that, we've done what we can here. We need to put him in hospice because they have specialized care and specialized treatment. She had no idea what hospice was about. They transferred him to hospice that evening. The next day, about midday, he was pronounced dead. She discovered later what it was about. They euthanized. They put him to death. Hospice is designed for death. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. That's in Hebrews 9:27. So it is God and not government, ladies and gentlemen, that is in control of our birth, that's in control of our life, so that if a life is taken by any means other than by natural death, it is murder. It's not biblically justified whatsoever. Those who are pushing for euthanasia call it the good death, death with dignity. So simply simply the caring thing to do. State after state after state now following nations like Canada and the Netherlands and introducing and promulgating laws that will allow physicians to put to death its citizens. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. Pro-euthanasia doctors are twisting the meaning of palliative care. PALLIATIVE, palliative care. This article says, what is palliative care? The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines the word palliative as a transitive verb that means to reduce the violence of a disease, also to ease symptoms without curing the underlying disease. In other words, to palliate means to make a patient comfortable while treating his disease, end quote. This definition should translate into action being taken to relieve a person's pain and suffering while doctors and others involved in the treatment try to make him better, or at least make him comfortable while making him better. Never should pain relieving treatment, palliative care, be designed to ease the patient into death. This should not happen even in hospice, this writer says. However, in practice, that is exactly how many policy professionals view palliative care today. Today's palliative care, I'm reading from an article entitled Pro-Euthanasia Doctors Are Twisting the Meaning of Palliative Care. Today's palliative care is an approach or a process guided by a trained and certified palliative care team to help the family determine at what point there should be a shift in the goals of care, putting the patient on a different track, taking away the cure and marching toward death, end quote. This article says there's nothing that equips government bureaucrats to make quality of life decisions about people who are dying. He went on to talk about how eager many in Congress would be to save money on the end of life care so that they could spend that money on pet projects. Not talking about pets like dogs and cats, but pet projects. like some of the socialist Marxist Democrats are talking about now with climate control. He made it a point to say that end-of-life decisions making ought to be made by the physician at the bedside, by the family and the patients, and by the patients themselves. End of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, what the articles are literally saying, it should be a decision that is made out of the hands of the physician and not the physician. But the physicians are taking the position today more and more by their little questionnaires, and it's emboldening the doctors, ladies and gentlemen, by these federally designed, federally required forms that the doctors ask you to fill out and ask you to answer the question. If you're not filling them out, they're going to let me just take a moment before the doctor gets in here. Let me ask you a few questions. How have you been feeling? You hurting any place? You have any pains any place? Are you depressed? Are you discouraged? Have you thought about dying? Do you have any weapons in your home? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all designed, ladies and gentlemen, not for the patient's benefit, but for the government's benefit to make a decision when they can cease and desist any care for you. It is very dangerous for several reasons, one of which is not the focus of the broadcast today. One of which, if you say that you're depressed and you have any weapons in the home, then the very next morning before sunrise, you'll have the law enforcement at your door in the state of Florida to Baker Act you, take your weapon away, put you in jail for 14 days at the minimum. And then you'll have to spend your lifetime trying to get your weapon back, to get your life back, because someone has decided for you that you're nuts, that something is wrong with you. Talked about that the other day on the broadcast when I was interviewing one of our Florida legislators, and he gave the true story of that taking place, and that's under the red flag law. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have so many different laws and legislative actions coming to the forefront. It is the perfect storm that's taking place in America today, that puts the life and the future of every human being in the position that we're no longer in control of what we do and where we go. And it's taking the control out of the hands of God and putting it in the hands of government as to when they're going to end your life. Ladies and gentlemen, so to take a life by any means other than the natural death, it's murder. No other way you can call it. It's not biblically justified. There's no way you can justify it, but ladies and gentlemen, it is taking place in the United States of America today. And as we'll share later in this broadcast, if time will allow, there are physicians that are carrying out euthanasia in their emergency rooms where the patient comes in that has a very, very life-threatening injury, and they will assist in dying. They will carry out euthanasia because they can then harvest the body parts and sell the body parts. $100,000, $250,000 for heart or lungs, et cetera, et cetera. That's happening in America today, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but it scares the socks off me. We need to understand what we're faced with when we go to the doctor. It's not a simple thing to go to the doctor. In fact, I was in the hospital on one occasion. My son said, "Dad, we've got to get you out of here. This place will kill you." And he was saying it in jest, of course, because so many people go to the hospital with a minor surgery. No such thing as minor. Some will go to the hospital for a serious, for a minor treatment, and get some type of serious infection out of the hospital, and you'll die as a result of it. Ladies and gentlemen, the physicians are calling that the good death, death with dignity, simply carrying weight to die. State after state now following the nations of Canada and the Netherlands and so forth. Here's an article that says euthanasia death increased by 50% in Canada over 2018. Based on the data, in 2018, the number reported assisted suicide deaths increased by more than 50%. And ladies and gentlemen, Canada is not the only place. It's not the only place around the globe. Sweden and the Netherlands and many other global empires, if you will, states are now carrying out death by way of a physician-assisted suicide. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a very serious and sombering thought. But never mind the fact of how serious and somber it may sound, it's very real. Here's an article that says, euthanasia laws are slowly but surely expanding to include everyone. Dateline, July 26, 2019. Euthanasia Prevention Coalition. Oregon Governor Kate Brown agreed to expand the assisted suicide law by signing Senate Bill 0579 into law. The bill essentially eliminates the 15-day waiting period to die by assisted suicide, a safeguard that was designed to assure that the person has an opportunity to change his mind. Proponents of the bill argue that the bill applies only to people with less than 15 days to live, and yet it is difficult to know whether someone has less than 15 days to live. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know how many days you're going to live? The Bible says our life is as a vapor. It's here now and it's gone tomorrow. We have no assurance of tomorrow. Our moments are in God's hands. Our lives are in God's hands. Every heartbeat is a benevolent gift from a benevolent benefactor called God. And it's not left up to man or government to become God. And so this bill now expanding the euthanasia laws in Oregon by Democrat governor, a socialist Marxist Democrat governor, Kate Brown, made the determination that we need to reduce that 15-day waiting period. And the 15-day waiting period, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not for that at all, but at least that was some modicum of security that if that patient were to say, just go ahead and kill me, they couldn't do it right then. You had to wait 15 days to determine. And now that's been removed by Governor Kate Brown's signature. The article further says, the Netherlands euthanasia law has also expanded by changing the interpretation of the law. The latest Netherlands euthanasia statistics suggest that the euthanasia law has been reinterpreted to include euthanasia for completed life. In other words, it's not called death. You're just completing your life. The bill waives the 15-day waiting period, meaning a person who is approved for assisted suicide can die within that day. If depressed, loses the opportunity to change their mind. Hear me? The new law is now being expanded even in the state of Oregon. A person can be depressed and say, I want to die. And even if depressed and make that statement as a off-the-cuff statement because of being weary and tired or perhaps pained because of the illness or the disease or the surgical aftermath, can say, I want to die. That means then a doctor or a nurse can come in and dispatch you, legally dispatch you, legally kill you, take your life. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says New Jersey governor vows to sign bill allowing doctors to kill terminally ill patients. New Jersey, New Haven, New Jersey. The New Jersey governor vowed to sign new legislation allowing a sick patient to receive help from doctors in killing themselves, saying in a statement, this measure is about dignity, adding that it will make New Jersey a more dignified and emphatic state. What does that mean, a more dignified and emphatic state? Look at the state of New Jersey. It's deplorable. Shootings 24/7. A drug-crazed state. How can you make it more dignified? I reckon by taking a life, killing a patient, a doctor killing its patient, a hospital allowing physicians to kill you, makes the state more dignified. In whose eyes? In the eyes of the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats? Or in the eyes of God? This article further says, allowing terminally ill and dying residents to the dignity to end one's life and the decisions to do so according to their own conscience is the right thing to do, the governor said. I look forward to signing this new legislation into law. The article goes on. The two versions of the Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act passed each chamber of the state legislature with a minimum number of votes. A synopsis of the bill states, quote, Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act 3 permits qualified terminally ill patients to self-administer medications to end life in a humane and dignified manner. the New Jersey Catholic Conference expressed opposition to the earlier version of the bill. The Catholic Conference, he said, opposed the bill because physician-assisted suicide is a direct threat to anyone viewed as a significant cost liability to the health care provider. Perhaps you didn't hear that. Perhaps you didn't understand it. And so for the benefit of those that didn't hear it well or didn't understand it succinctly, let me read it again. The Catholic Conference said they opposed the bill because physician-assisted suicide is a direct threat to anyone viewed as a significant cost liability to the health care providers, end quote. Patients with lingering illnesses, he said, could be branded as an economic liability, and decisions to encourage death could be driving the cost. He cited the example of Stephanie Parker, a Californian who was denied coverage for needed chemotherapy but was approved for the drugs to end her life. No, you can't provide the chemotherapy. It costs too much. But we can provide the injection that will dispatch you and take you out of the cost factor for the health care providers. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a serious, deplorable declension in America when we see this taking place. And it's taking place on a rampant basis. I'm holding in my hand a document about 50 pages called Stealth, S-T-E-L-T-H, Stealth Euthanasia, Healthcare Tyranny in America, Hospice, Palliative Care, and Healthcare Reform. It is a frightening article. It was published by Hospice Patient Alliance Incorporated about a year ago. It is one that is definitive. And it says, Hospice expanding its turf to non-terminal or and hastening death care for patients. Today, the hospice industry is making a huge push to extend its turf so that they can get more patients, more health care so-called territory, so to speak. They want to legally be able to admit patients who are not terminally ill, but will be able to care for them until life ends. And I could go on and on. Like I say, this document is a frightening, scary document as to what's taking place in the realm of healthcare through the so-called palliative care and the hospice industry that permeates society today. The Netherlands, for example, and Canada, they've been killing the young and the elderly for over 20 years now. Some may ask, why is this becoming so popular? Simply because the marketing of body parts and the cost control for the insurance companies, the fast-moving pace of killing of the infants and the old is spreading across America today as nothing else could. It is profitable for the medical industry. It's profitable for the professionals. It's profitable for the insurance companies. So, ladies and gentlemen, you see the profitability in killing you, in taking your life, and money is the root of all evil, the Bible says, and it's very, very clear. That is the motivating factor today for euthanasia rampantly running across America. Here's an article that says euthanasia activists making headway enforcing assisted suicide even in Catholic hospitals. You hear me? Dateline December the 21st, 2018. Jocelyn Downey, the longtime euthanasia activist and academic, is now turning her attention to forcing the St. Martha's Regional Hospital and the Sisters of Martha, St. Martha, to permit euthanasia. She believes that access to medical-assisted suicide transcends all Catholic health care beliefs and agreements in the hospital and with its physicians, end quote. It's a two-page article. Just read you the brief blurb that was the most emphasizing portion of the article. Here's an article that says, emergency room promoting shocking practice. Officials with the Christian Institute for the United Kingdom, this is not in America, gives you an idea of what happens. Christian Institute of the United Kingdom described how the AIDS for medical aid is dying, or aid in dying, are appearing at the emergency rooms. The Institute quoted Wesley Smith, the Discovery Institute, who said those who are in the waiting rooms are the vulnerable who may be afraid, in pain, or depressed. He said, the ad makes no mention of palliative care or other means to reduce the, or eliminate suffering without killing. Wesley Smith, a National Review, said it is evident that the Canadian medical system is in the tank for assisted suicide. Why would they be in the tank, ladies and gentlemen? The same reason American governance is in the tank. It is because of the assisted suicide promulgators, those that are pushing for euthanasia. those that are getting paid high dollars to go in and lobby our legislators on a statewide and nationwide basis to allow physicians to assist you in being put to death. It is profitable for the medical industry because it cuts down the cost of end-of-life care for the insurance companies in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, this article further says the text explains a medical service where doctors help patients, eligible patients, to fulfill their wish in dying, a wish for dying. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. It says the Quebec doctors now abruptly euthanize six patients as a first resort. Sick patients in Quebec are sometimes abruptly killed by the doctors through the Providence's euthanasia program with little or no effort to mitigate or relieve the patient's suffering through non-lethal medical means, a study in the International Medical Journal is claiming. Smith said that once euthanasia is normalized, the next logical step is for it to simply become a banal bureaucratic process, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching it come to a process that is accepted, a process that is promulgating that across the nation today. And I could go on and on, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says hospice can misform patients and families, misinform patients and families for end of life. And I've studied video after video after video, read article after article after article, where physicians will literally take seminars on how to coax and convince the family members to allow mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, to be put to death. You know, he's lived a ripe old age. You know, he wouldn't want to continue in a vegetative state. You know, he would not want to live this way. You know, you're the ones that need to make the decision for him. He has had a fruitful, successful life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to convince the family members that, yes, we need to put Pop to death. We need to let Mom die. We need to let Aunt Susie go. It's an impossibility to do anything. We need to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a need today to recognize the dangerous times in which we are living in. May I remind us, so what does the Bible say? How should we respond? What should we do in relationship to life and living? How should we respond based on the authority of Scripture? All true Christians would agree that life is most precious, the most precious gift that we can receive from God. The Bible clearly teaches that all life is of infinite value, regardless of the duration, regardless of the quality, regardless of the condition. All human beings are made in the image of God, and we must recognize and protect our life and living. And be careful, ladies and gentlemen, of the insurance companies coming in and telling your doctors that you need to die. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.